Joining us on the program is the Chief Commercial Officer of Liverpool Football Club. Liverpool will be playing at Fenway Park July the 23rd for the second time in three seasons against AS Roma. It's a great European battle on the state side of things. And here to talk about the match and all things good Merseyside in Liverpool is Mr. Billy Hogan, Chief Commercial Officer of Liverpool. Billy, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. So first off, welcome stateside. Welcome home stateside, I should be saying. I mean, what an amazing season that Liverpool just had. And you guys must be excited just to be back over at Fenway Park. I know John Henry's excited to be back at Fenway Park, but I'm sure the guys in the red kits excited to be on tour this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, it was a great season this past year, and obviously an important preseason for us. Nice to, as they say, come home, right, so to speak. Part of the Fenway Sports Group family, playing in playing at Fenway, and as I said, this preseason is really important as we get ready to get back into Champions League this fall.
Yeah, I know a lot of people on Merseyside are excited to be back in Champions League, one of the most historic clubs on the European level ever. And we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. But let's talk about you for a second here, Billy. What are your responsibilities, your jobs as Chief Commercial Officer of Liverpool Football Club?
So essentially my role is to manage the revenue side of the club. So whether that's sponsorships, whether that's ticketing, sort of match day revenue, and also all of our merchandising business. It's a little bit different with Liverpool as opposed to the Red Sox, for instance, where Major League Baseball controls all of the merchandising rights. So hats, T-shirts, jerseys, etc. At Liverpool, we control our rights on a global basis. So if you buy a kit or you buy a T-shirt or whatever, that's essentially managed by Liverpool globally. So those are kind of the key areas of the business that I manage.
Now, is that dating back to some pre-business universal models that sports team use? Like, because I know that, and for a lot of football fans, soccer fans, for the pundits out there that follow the sport, it's everything was invested in the club back in the day. So it's a little bit different business-wise how things are done on the European and South American and wherever you are outside of North America, pretty much in the sports scene.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a fundamental difference between the sort of franchise model, which obviously we have here in the States, versus the club model, where the club, and whether it's promotion or relegation, clubs coming up and going down and into the different levels of the league, there isn't kind of a centrally run merchandising licensing role that the league office plays. Really, the Premier League office, for the most part, manages the distribution and the sales of the television rights, which we're broadcast into over 200 different countries around the world. But beyond that, really, the clubs do control all of their kind of business assets, as it were. And we're fortunate, obviously Liverpool's a global club with hundreds of millions of fans around the world, and so we get a chance to try and work closely with those fans.
Very nice. And Billy Hogan joining us today. So when you put together these off-season friendlies, this is now the second time in 3 years that Liverpool play at Fenway Park. Mm-hmm. Is Boston a destination that's consistently circled on your calendar?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think obviously because of the connection with the Red Sox and part of the family, so to speak, with Fenway Sports Group. It's a great opportunity to bring the team here. We've been training at Harvard for the last couple of days, and the guys love it. It's a great facility. Fenway is a unique place to play a football match, so they enjoy that as well. And again, that connection to Boston is really important. I mean, this is our seventh trip back to the U.S. To tour here over our history, and so as you said, two out of the last three summers we've come as well. So it's an important place for us, and I think whenever we come to the States, I would think Boston would probably be one of the stops on that tour.
Large demographic of Liverpool fans in New England?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We get over 20 million fans across the country, actually.
Wow.
A big concentration in the New England area. We're playing three other matches, one in Chicago, then New York, and then Charlotte, just playing four matches on the tour. Significant pockets of fans in those cities as well.
And I've heard John Henry make the comparisons between Merseyside, where Liverpool plays, and Boston. Just the geographic logistics between the two respective cities, there's so much similarities between them that it really is amazing. Boston's like 200, I think John Henry said that Boston's 230 miles north of a major business capital, and Liverpool's is the same way. So it's just, there's a lot of similarities, I feel like, between Boston and Liverpool, too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, both geographically, in terms of sort of where they are in their respective countries, as well as I think, you know, the people and the makeup and you know, I think in our case, looking at it specifically from whether it's the Red Sox or Liverpool, you know, I think the fan bases are very similar, you know, very traditional clubs in both regards, and kind of, you know, family type of fan bases, you know, kind of passed down from generation to generation, and incredibly passionate as well. And, you know, both have great iconic ballparks or stadiums in the case of Anfield and Fenway Park. So, yeah, there's a lot of similarities. I spend a tremendous amount of time in both cities, and you can see those similarities when you're there, for sure.
When you look at Liverpool, what they do otherwise during their off-season tours, last year they went far east and down under, and some of the more memorable scenes that I remember seeing were in Melbourne, Australia, although all the sights seem fascinating. I just love seeing 90,000 people belting out "You'll Never Walk Alone." Amazing. What did you learn about yourselves as an organization going to the other side of the world?
Yeah, I think I've been in my role now for over 2 years, and have had the chance to travel quite a bit. And you know, the Premier League is just massive in Asia. And I think, you know, you hear that a lot, but until I experienced it with the club last summer, it was just kind of hard to comprehend. But you know, we had tens of thousands of people lining the streets in Jakarta, Indonesia, when we landed there, you know, played in front of 85,000 people at the stadium there. As you say, played in front of over 90,000 at the MCG in Melbourne, and then played in front of 60,000 in Thailand and Bangkok, and, you know, people sleeping outside the hotel. I mean, it really was like traveling with the Beatles. It was it was amazing. You know, I think it's just a great example of, you know, something that I've learned, which is, you know, being a part of truly a global game like football, soccer is, you know, is something that, again, until you see it, it's kind of hard to comprehend, but it really is amazing. And it's a tremendous opportunity for us as a club.
Well, talking about sponsorships and moving to other aspects of your job, Billy Hogan, Chief Commercial Officer of Liverpool Football Club, with us today. A familiar logo appeared on the Anfield sidelines last season and got a lot of funny responses on Twitter. Dunkin' Donuts in Anfield. Is there becoming more of an American business interest to invest in European football?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, we at Fenway Sports Group have a tremendous relationship with Dunkin' Donuts. Obviously, they're a partner of the Red Sox and of Nesson.
Nice to have the headquarters in Canton, too, right?
Exactly. local partnerships are great. But, you know, so I think that certainly played a big role in their decision to partner with Liverpool, because, you know, they are obviously familiar with us as a group and how we operate. But I do think that more generally, you know, we are focused on U.S. Brands. I think, you know, the kind of the similarities that you'd see in the partners that we have that are American-based companies, whether that's Dunkin' Donuts or Subway or Warrior, who produces our kit, you know, they're all looking for expansion beyond the U.S. So I think that's something that is something that that any U.S. Based company who has the desires to have a global appeal, or even regionally, you know, around the world, you know, the Premier League and football in general provide a tremendous platform for it. So, and I think, you know, the sport is clearly growing, and I think, you know, what we all saw over the course of the couple of weeks of the World Cup, the summer was different, really, than probably what's happened in previous World Cups, and hopefully that momentum continues. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of interest just on that side. We're seeing a lot of interest from U.S. companies in our opportunities at Liverpool.
Nike and Adidas are also two American-based companies that are huge in the English Premier League. Man United's even going to wear a Chevy logo, believe it or not, if you can imagine that, on their chest kits this season, which will make for funny jokes in Merseyside, I'm sure. Do English fans embrace American branding?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it is different. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think the one thing that, that fans really do have a sense for, and probably more so than in the U.S., I think that, you know, the economics of the game and of the team, and because, you know, there's so much pressure as it relates to transfers and players and signing players, and they recognize that, you know, the revenue is necessary to bring in, you know, great players, and you know, we're in the process of doing that this summer in our transfer window. So yeah, I think that they know that that the partnerships that are established through sponsorship are incredibly important for the club, and you know, our mantra is always that, you know, we're out there trying to generate as much revenue as we can so that we can, you know, put it back into the team, and that's really been the way that, you know, John Henry and Tom Warner and Mike Gordon have acted with the club. So,
yeah, and I'm sure some of that revenue that you guys will make will certainly help in rebuilding Anfield. I mean, coming off the heels of the successful season that you did last year, the club announced this summer a facelift to the legendary confines of Anfield. Now, this ownership group saw a tremendous financial gain after the renovations done to Fenway Park. It was amazing how that came out. What lessons can FSG take away from reconstructing Fenway and reinventing Anfield?
Yeah, that's a very apt comparison. I mean, I think you know, as I said before, both venues are iconic in their own sport, sort of, you know, bucket list type of destinations for fans, whether you're a baseball fan or a football fan. So I think there's a lot that we can learn. I think the one great thing that you know, Larry Lucchino and the team at the Red Sox were able to accomplish was, you know, adding capacity and adding great seats and interesting vantage points, but at the same time keeping, you know, that feeling of Fenway and, you know, that kind of unique atmosphere that that you have at the ballpark. And I think that's something that we will work very hard to keep at Anfield as well. I mean, it's a little bit different in the sense of, you know, it's kind of a four-standard football stadium, so it doesn't necessarily have the quirky angles and feeding locations that Fenway does. There's no Green Monster, but
you do have the cop.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So there is opportunity to, you know, to seize on those traditional opportunities that we have at Anfield, and I think, you know, there'll be a lot of lessons learned, and there's, in fact, it was on a, you know, call yesterday where we had folks from Fenway who were involved in the call and talking through some of the design elements of it. Yeah. So there's definitely a kind of a shared best practices element that goes into the various businesses of Fenway Sports Group.
Excellent, 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 excellent. Now let's move to the other side of things. Obviously, you know, we talked about the World Cup, we talked about players, and we talked about how they help with the club and all when in terms of financials and stuff. A guy that was very under the microscope, if you will, during the World Cup and even before the incident, Luis Suarez. First off, when that incident happened, what was the initial reaction of the club? And how do you guys feel you handled that after Suarez bit Chiellini?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, from a club perspective, you know, the first point, I guess, is that it happened, you know, while he was on international duty. So, you know, obviously he wasn't playing for Liverpool when it happened.
Right, absolutely.
You know, I think, you know, the statements that we put out, you know, are sort of consistent with the way that we would normally handle anything. I mean, that was, you know, as a FIFA issue that needed to be dealt with. And obviously they, you know, they handed out their punishment. I know that there was an appeals process that was turned down. And, you know, through that process, obviously now, subsequently, you know, he's there's been a transfer now for him to go to Barcelona. So, you know, he's an incredible talent. You know, I think that was a unique scenario in the sense that, you know, it wasn't while he was playing for Liverpool. So it was very different from, for instance, when it happened, when we were playing against Chelsea, you know, last year. So, yeah.
Did the club have prior talks with Barcelona before the incident?
I'm not really in a position where I can comment on that.
That's
sort of outside of my purview on the football side. So,
Fair enough. Fair enough. I completely understand. And we got Billy Hogan just for a couple more minutes here on the pod. I saw a quote from you. I think it was yesterday. You were on Sirius XM and obviously talking about Liverpool versus Roma coming up again, yep. July 23rd, Fenway Park. This Wednesday, tomorrow night, actually. Amazing. And I saw you make the comment about Steven Gerrard and David Ortiz, comparing the two. And we talked earlier about how the cities in Liverpool and Boston are so similar. But the players and Steven Gerrard and David Ortiz and what they represent. Can you talk about just the overall impact these, because you know them both, these two individual players have on the cities that they play for?
Yeah, I think, you know, they both, as I think I said yesterday, I mean, they're both sort of iconic players, you know, and incredible talents, clearly, but also, you know, great leaders. And, you know, we're fortunate to have talents like them on either the Red Sox or Liverpool. I think, you know, one of the things I've had a chance to spend time, you know, just kind of watching Steven in particular, and, you know, obviously a great leader, and, you know, he's our captain, the captain of the English national team, and a tremendous guy, and, you know, a tremendous amount of pressure that's on somebody like him, you know, it's being pulled and multiple directions, but you know, his focus on the game, and his, frankly, the, you know, the, he cares so much about the club, that he really is a unique talent, and a tremendous, as I said, a tremendous player and a tremendous leader.
Now, were you at Liverpool? Excuse me, were you at Anfield the day that City lost to Liverpool, and you guys that those historic and iconic pictures of Steven Gerrard in the huddle, trying to push his boys through the final three matches of the season? Were you there for that night? And what were your thoughts and just real initial reaction from the scenes that you saw in Anfield?
Yeah, no, I was there for that match. It was, the atmosphere was electric. It was an incredible place to be, and fortunate to be there. But yeah, it was a special day, and you know, obviously it was part of what was an incredible run over the course of the, you know, second half of the season, and was just a lot of fun. You know, it's sports is always fun when you're winning, and that was, you know, having won. You know, essentially from January through to April, it was a lot of fun to be around. But yeah, I'm looking forward to building on that now and carrying that momentum into this season.
Should be fun. Billy Hogan, Chief Commercial Officer of Liverpool Football Club. Like I said, tomorrow night, you're not doing anything. There's no baseball on. The Red Sox are terrible right now. Go see Liverpool Football Club right down at Fenway Park to take on AS Roma. And it should be a really, really fun night seeing the boys in red come over from Merseyside to New England. So, Billy, thank you very much. And I was just kidding about the Red Sox. They'll pull together at some point.
Thanks,
Tom. All right, we'll talk. Hopefully we'll get you on again. And good luck tomorrow night.
That'd be great. Thanks. Appreciate it. Okay. Bye-bye.